You are listening to the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show podcast on Gear 30 Radio. Adventure for your ears. Shop Gear 30 premier mountain equipment and improve your outdoor experience.
Gear 30 Radio!
You haven't lived until you've heard the show Americans are talking about. The show that launches its listeners to the height of humanity. The audio hour that travels the landscape of adventure. The sound that comforts more than the clip of your first bolt. It's the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show!
All right, we're Outdoor Adventure Summit's the airwaves. It's the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show. I'm your host, Brandon Long, on belay with you for the next hour. In studio with me, as always, is Todd the Top. Todders, how you doing?
Hey, doing good, thank you.
So you're busy. You're jumping back and forth between venues tonight. You got the shindig over at the front for the Ogden Trails Network.
Yeah, that's just starting right now. Yeah, Slackwater is providing grub.
Awesome. Well, thanks for stepping in and pulling double duty over here.
I wouldn't miss these guys. In fact, I know these guys very well.
That's awesome. So, yeah, in studio with us, we do have the Highway Thieves, and we'll get to them here in just a minute. This show's itinerary includes an interview with John Turner and company of the Highway Thieves. News, Tippecanoe Cave opens May 10th, so you know it's spring and summer when that happens. Utah crow hunting. Provo City buys Rock Canyon. Danger and Jukebox Cave Tours, Pete Parkour. Have you seen the Utah Spider-Man?
No.
They filmed him in Provo and Salt Lake. He's dressed in a Spidey suit, and he's doing parkour between these buildings, and it's legit. So we'll tell you about that. Rio Olympics, are they doomed? Everest misinformation, Steve House on the training effect. Columbia buys Prana. World planking record, you won't believe how old the world record setter is. Carolina Cup winners, an exploding whale. Are you true Utah? We have a quiz to give you. Honor the turkeys, rock climbing bears, and there's a new beer mile record we can talk about. So we'll give you some events and quote of the week, all this and more on episode 167, May Day of the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show. So let's charge.
He summits with the agility of a mountain goat. Flashes routes faster than UPS. Is more intimate in the mountains than Jake Gyllenhaal. He's Todd to the Top.
Awesome. Well, we're stoked to have in studio with us the Highway Thieves. So there is, six total. So don't want to leave anyone out. Now, John, we had you in studio or in the shop here, you and Devin for the after party. So I want to first of all say thank you. You guys did a fantastic job for the climbing festival after party. What'd you think? Bunch of crazy climbers.
I liked it. The chair boulder was pretty intense.
How was that?
It was awesome.
I couldn't focus either.
I kept like looking over going, wow, what was my line?
Is he going to fall? I don't know.
I think he might fall.
He might fall to his death or just the floor.
We seriously need to do that over at Slack, just like on a Thursday night or like a regular night.
Chair bouldering was, we have chairs similar to what we're sitting in here, but you have to start on the chair, go under all the way around and back to sitting again without falling off the chair. You have to be limber, super strong core, and fairly decent, you know, strength.
They were doing it all night.
I didn't think it would be that big of a deal or if anyone could do it, and it turned into a hit, so it was awesome. So we have, your guys are an eclectic group. How'd y'all meet?
Dark internet chat sites.
Well, me and my brother met in the womb, but
you met in the womb.
We shared 9 months in the same womb, so I guess.
You guys knew each other. How do you reach out and find artists in 2014 or 2013? How long have you guys been together?
I think we're going on year four.
Year four?
Yeah, coming up on year
with the
four.
Core group. Myself and Matt Larrison decided to start a band after many nights attending open mic night, not being able to play. So. Decided we'd do our own gigs. And we met Kyler in the studio recording our first track, actually. He sat down on the piano and killed the first take, so we decided we'd steal him. And the Hodshires, we found them under a rock.
True story.
Very true story.
They still live in that rock. It's It's pretty homey.
To this very day.
So you've been together 4 years. What's the plans here? We're playing some local gigs, right? You got one coming up right here tomorrow night.
Yep, it's Sandtrap tomorrow night. We'll be going on from 9 till close with Theta. Actually, the Hodshires are both part of that band as well, so we'll give them some woot woot.
It's good. Check it out.
So you're playing all night tomorrow night. You get a bonus check for that, right?
He plays drums for the first set and bass for the rest.
There you go. Awesome. Well, let's not keep everyone waiting. Let's get into a song here. Go ahead and tell us which song you want to play, and let's hear it.
This song's a song we wrote called Knives of the Beck.
Passed away, so he heading west to fortune and fame with no thought or regret to those that he left back home. Hit California, one thing on his mind, a whole Mexico, and where he could find it. So he struck his claims in those Black Hill Mountains, made it all that hot August day. I guess the West was won. Fistful of bullets and guns. Streets drunk on whiskey and blood. Jeb worked his hands till they was bloody as hell. And his clothes were tattered, starting to smell. So he rode down to town as he thinks to himself, dear God, help me clean up this mess. After a shower, the shaving 8 shots of the mascot he mustered, the courage to talk to a tall, dark-haired Ollie, who called herself Charlotte, who kissed him, quietly said, well, I guess that the West was won. Fistful of bullets and guns, streets drunk on whiskey and blood. Morning to his shovel and pick. Well, he set to digging, and he struck a bridge, so he rode out of town. Now all began proud of the man that he finally is. Saddled back to camp with the sheriff in tow. Said we need help protecting his lowborn when they arrive. They weren't alone. Knives at the back
said they'd come to call home. Well, I guess
the West was won. Fistful of bullets and guns. Streets drunk on whiskey and blood. Ain't a damn thing changed. Except the concrete swallowed all the trees. Heroes were brought to their knees. Hung at the gallows in the threes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Apparently, you got to teach the rock climbers how to clap after songs, though.
Or not clap.
That's okay, either way.
They were busy chair bouldering or whatnot. So,
climbing tables. It's a hard life. Really.
It's a hard life. Yeah. So, John, talk to me about how do you get your band off the ground these days? You got social media now. Has that helped? Reverb Nation, some sites that do what they can, but what are the tricks?
Play well and make a memorable impression on people when they come, because they might not come again if you don't do so.
Yeah.
Social media is nice. Facebook set some new parameters on the way the reach works, especially for musicians and bands. So if you're specifically not going to those pages and liking stuff and checking them out, then you'll stop receiving stuff in your newsfeed. So that method may be going the way of the buffalo.
But didn't MySpace sort of really kick it off for musicians? And then musicians kind of kept MySpace alive, right? Or Yeah, life support.
I've spent way too many hours adding friends to MySpace pages for bands.
You said, for what now?
Exactly.
For now, they're all gone. So YouTube, you guys put your videos up or?
Yeah, we just recently did some video. Actually, Kevin Johnson came and shot some of our Slackwater set and put that up. So
awesome.
Check it out.
Working on more for sure.
And live gigs. How many do you do a week, a month?
Depends. The last few months we've been like 3 or 4 to 5 gigs a week, and now we've kind of tried to scale it back so everybody doesn't pull the rest of their hair out of their heads.
Sure. Oh, wow. That's, yeah show
go,
off.
There we go.
Cool. Very good. And next, so we talked about this week coming up. You got a little gig. But what about futures? Like, you guys think long term, like, I want to do this for the rest of my life, or y'all got some other things going on that you'd rather make
this
a living at?
This is definitely what I'm going to do. I'd hope to drag all these lovely folks with me, but we'll see how.
Some form or another, yeah.
We'll see how it works.
In some form
we'll keep
or another,
going.
For sure. Well, I'm a chef over at Slackwater, too. I run the kitchen over there, and that's what I went to school for, you know, but I'm always trying to keep this as my other thing that I do.
The
know?
Other
it's
other
definitely
thing.
Definitely a priority, for sure.
But you got to be realistic, because everybody has a band now, you know, and obviously
some of us have three
those of us who are trying to make something decent are being completely overlooked by what's going to sell all the time anyway, so there's not a lot of encouragement to try to make it like a rock star lifestyle type thing,
but quantity over quality.
So how does that work? How does
if you like doing it, you make it work, you know. I think you do what you got to do to, you know, stay making music and doing your thing. Especially if you're realistic enough not to think that you're going to get paid out some way in it. You know, like that's just futile.
Money's not really a part of it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'd have a lot of friends that think they're just waiting on the big check to come and the big deal.
Yeah, it's sad. Especially when you start getting into your 30s and you're like,
but you're the next.
I've been doing this for 10 years and it hasn't come, you know, and it's kind of like, dude, it's probably not going.
So, like, you know, Imagine Dragons makes it, you know, or whatever. Yeah. So, and then it's like, well, then anybody can, right?
Yeah, right. Therein the problem lies.
Yeah.
It's all who you know.
Yeah. Let's hear another tune for you. Prepare two songs, right? And then where can we hear more of your music? I think there's one track up at Reverb Nation.
Yeah, you can check us out. I mostly update the Facebook page. It's the most user-friendly and least time-sucking, even though it is a huge time-sucker.
Yeah.
So everything's linked to there usually. We also have Reverb Nation / The Highway Thieves and the YouTube channel as well.
And YouTube. Awesome. All right, this next song?
Soon to be on Instagram once I can sit down and get through the process.
I'll help you with that, John.
Yeah, there we go.
What are we playing? This song's called Last Glass. Or Time Machine, whatever you want to call it. I can't ever remember.
Whichever makes feel sexiest.
Here at the Highway Thieves, we let you choose. So I guess she meant what she said when she said she was leaving here. I washed her hands of this whole mess. In the sands, more intense than death. The body of the person you love walking around with a head that'll never forget. So I pour myself a glass of whiskey. Two at a time, cause it helps me to forget these ghosts of all the lovers and friends. Tonight's me. I try like hell to hold on, yeah, forgive and forget. But boy, you'll know when that bottle's gone, a little bit about emptiness. Guilty conscience and these dirty hands.
I'm the man that got everything that he wanted, then lost it so fast.
He made his head spin.
In an honest attempt to drink myself to death. Well, I'd awake to the afternoon light to find that I failed again. So I pour myself a glass of whiskey. Two at a time, cause it helps me to forget these ghosts of all the lovers and friends. Tonight, tonight,
man.
She says there's no place like home. She clicked her heels and then disappeared. The past is back in tomorrow's clothes, trying to sell us another year. While I was smoking a sentimental cigarette, we made so many good memories. Well, I think it's time we put them to bed. Cause I don't have the cash, nah, the time or the means. I have the brains it would take to build my own time machine. So I pour myself a glass of whiskey. Time, cause it helps me to forget these ghosts of all the lovers and friends. Tonight denies me. Yesterdays, they're piling up on me, man, and I can't think of where. I guess the older that I get, the more that I hate waiting. This patience is just glorified procrastination.
Thank you.
Yeah, you guys are good. You should become something. Jeez. Quit messing around, would you?
Do something with yourselves.
Go get signed or something, would you? Yeah, what are you waiting for? Want
to
give
the
everyone...
paperwork? Waiting for your new independent record label to sign us.
Yeah, I'll do it. I do it. Yeah. So want to mention everyone's name. John Turner, lead vocal. Devin Turner, what do you call it? Like side vocal? What do you call it?
Just joint other vocal.
The other
joint vocalist, co-vocalist.
Kyler Lewis over there on the piano.
On the keys, he also plays the cheese flute.
The cheese flute.
He also steps on grapes until they make noise from it. He's weird.
Matt Larion, beating the drums over
drums
there.
Drums and backup vocals for Mr. Larrison.
And then Anna, what are you playing over there? A tenor sax, and then Jesse's on bass, the Hutchires. Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys coming
thank
in.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Search the Highway Thieves on Facebook and your other favorite social media, and then go see them live wherever you can. Follow them to the Sandtrap Friday nights, and then wherever else your next destination takes you. Thanks again, you guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate
you.
It.
Appreciate yep. It.
Have a nice day.
Yeah.
Gear up and be prepared, kids.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks again.
You are listening to the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show podcast on Gear 30 Radio. Adventure for your ears. Shop Gear 30 premier mountain equipment and improve your outdoor experience.
Gear 30 Radio!
All right, sweet. It was awesome to finally have another, like a live band on the show. I don't think that's happened since the studio up at 88.1.
Yeah, we'll have to do that more often. There's some good music here in town.
Really good music.
Yeah.
And I would hate to be a band because... you're compete. Like, what do you do? Like, how do you make it big? And like, how do you
play as much as you can? That's the biggest thing. These guys, they do. They play Slack once a week, every couple weeks. Usually they're over there. I know them pretty well from Sunday night. Like, they played this past Sunday nights over there.
Oh, really?
They're almost too much of a rock band for Slack. But they kill it. And they got a good draw, too. They bring in people, so.
Yeah, no, I love their sound. It was really good, so stoked they could make it on.
And they're nice boys and girl.
And girl.
Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't met
lovely,
her before.
Lovely, yeah. So enjoyed having them on, so that was good times. We do have some news. It is May, the 1st of May, can you believe it? We're going on 5 months here in 2014, so Tippinogos Cave is going to open for those of you who want to go check out the caves. On May 10th, daily tours will begin. They're expected to run through late September. Tickets will also be sold over the phone through a nationwide toll-free number. Remember toll-free numbers? Beginning May 5th, the Monument Visitors Center and Bookstore will be open daily from 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. through Labor Day and from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. for the remainder of the season. Tour groups enter the cave every 15 minutes, weather permitting. Each tour is limited to 16 people. Have you ever been up there?
I was just going to say that. I'll tell you the truth. I'm embarrassed to say I haven't. I've never made the hike up to the cave.
I have a quiz for you later to know how Utahn you are. I don't know if this made it to the quiz, but it probably should have. Yeah, you got to do this canyon.
I've always wanted to. I don't know why I haven't. Because I like that area. I go around over to Sundance and to, what's that?
So you do pass
Alpine
by there.
Loop or Aspen Loop. Yeah, right near the area. But I've never, you know, parked and hiked over and into it and everything. I've always wanted to, though.
Right. It's kind of a good hike. From here, it is. But, you mean the hike up is steep. Yeah. They do have benches along the way, and I think it's paved. So.
I still want to do it. I think.
You don't go there thinking, oh, you just park and then walk across the parking lot and open a door to a cave or something.
Yeah. I used to, back when I was younger, I lived in Kentucky, and where there's a lot of caves, we're near, I think, one of the America's biggest cave. It's Mammoth Caverns down there. And we used to do some spelunking with scouts.
Did you really?
And then afterwards, terrifying and exhilarating. I don't know if I could do it at my age now. I've gotten a little bit more claustrophobic than I was back then. But what an experience. These spelunkers, that's a whole different kind of adventure down there.
Sure, yeah. And I don't know. The water element is a little scary.
The openings, some of these openings are, you know, I mean, they're terrifyingly small. Yeah. They really are.
Man, crow hunting.
Yeah, what's that all about?
This is Utah wildlife officials, according to the Standard Examiner, are going to seek some input to do like a legalized hunting of crows in the state. The Division of Wildlife Resources spokesman, Mark Hadley, says the state's crow population has been growing and starting to damage fruit crops. So what do you got to do? You got to shoot them, I guess. Hadley says officials believe a hunt could help reduce the population and mitigate some problems. He says many surrounding western states already have crow hunts.
I didn't even know. Yeah, no, I'm not surprised.
But if you're into that kind of a thing and you're, you know, stay tuned because you could be, I guess there's some limitations on how close to other homes and stuff you could be. Yeah. I tell you what.
And obviously they're keeping an eye on the population. We don't want them too out of control.
And this is one way to preserve, I guess, you know, places where you recreate. Provo just went and bought some 80 acres of land to preserve Rock Canyon. So city officials, this is on the Des News, they're making sure one of the most popular outdoor recreation areas in Provo will remain the way it is. 80 acres of private land in Rock Canyon is being purchased by the city. They're paying $1.6 million, and they're preserving it from development into either mining or whatnot. And the community is going to be able to enjoy it. And city officials announced this on Tuesday. They said, I'm glad the city is going to preserve it. This is a Provo resident, Denise Durrens. I've never been down there. Oh, Denise Durrens, who hikes with her dog Roxy a few days a week in Rock Canyon, says, it's just so beautiful. It's semi-private. The higher you go up, nobody's there. It's beautiful. You can see the valley. So take a trip down there and know that it'll be there a while. If Provo City has anything to do with it, I guess.
Good for them. That's great.
Never heard of these caves. Some more caves locally. Danger Cave.
I like the name.
And Jukebox cave.
I like both of them.
So there's going to be, it's an annual tour. Never did hear of this. Annual Archaeology Week tours of Danger and Jukebox Caves will take place May 10th. They were formed under the waters of Lake Bonneville. When the waters of the ancient lake receded, human beings used the caves as shelter and food processing centers. They drug their kill up there. Space is limited for the tour, so RSVP, call Justina. She's your gal. Or J. Parsons Bernstein at utah.gov. Put Danger Cave Tour in the subject line and get in there and check those caves out. Be pretty cool. It involves some steep and rugged hiking, but would pay off with being able to see some terrain that you only get to see once a year. We did tease this a little bit. Pete Parkour, the Spider-Man parkour kid from Utah, who dons a Spider-Man suit and filmed around Salt Lake and Provo. I watched it. It's crazy. It says his name's Ronnie Chalvis. He's made parkour a large part of his life ever since he was 15 years old in Springville, except for, of course, he served a 2-year mission. And you got to watch the video because he's on the edge of these buildings. Mm-hmm. They're really steep. And of course, he does flips and stuff, jumps gaps and does all the crazy parkour stuff. But in the video, he wears an amazing Spider-Man suit. And they have it. It's right there. It's part of like the promotion for The Amazing Spider-Man 2 that's coming out. So it's on YouTube. Check it out. Well, it's probably linked on the page if you're on the Gear 30 website right now. But so we're fresh off the Russian Olympics. And there was talk about, there was a hashtag Russian Olympics fail or something like that. I mean, going on.
They had a lot of trouble.
Had some issues and whatnot. But now... if you thought Sochi was in bad shape, apparently Rio is way behind down there. According, this is up at Outside Magazine,
like unbelievably behind.
But there's no plan B is the problem. So, yeah, at an Olympics forum in Sydney, Australia, Coates is on the committee for preparations or something on the IOC, I guess. He said the construction hadn't begun in some venues for 2016 games. In Rio de Janeiro, and that infrastructure and water quality are behind schedule. To prevent what seems like an inevitable Rio fail, hashtag Rio fail, the IOC is swooping in. The IOC has formed a task force to speed things up. Steps will include implementing extra monitors, project managers, and a team of experts. The IOC has adopted a more hands-on role. It's unprecedented. There is no plan B. We're going to Rio. We've become very concerned. They're not ready in many, many ways. We'll have to make it happen. And so you can't walk away from it. So that's a little nerve-wracking. I'm glad I'm not working with the IOC right now.
I'm looking forward to, because I've always wanted to go to Rio. There's a beautiful picture.
Are you going
to
go?
Catch that. I don't think for the Olympics, but meaning that the world gets to know a particular town during the Olympics, and so they got to step it up quick.
Picture that they posted from Getty Images, but it's on the Outside Magazine.
It's
Outside,
so beautiful.
It's
yeah.
fantastic. Yeah. It's gorgeous. So, and it's very, I mean, it looks like a city that would have some infrastructure. Tons of buildings, modern, it looks modern. You'd think they'd be doing pretty well down there.
I think most of their money goes into like
organizing
bikinis. I think maybe that's what the team has been spending too much time on the beach or whatever.
And right, that's what it is. Yeah, like, oh, we're supposed to be working down here. Exactly. Oh, totally forgot. So, Rock and Ice posted a new article on the happenings of Everest. We did talk about Everest last week with Will Calton, our resident Everest climber. This is called Special Report: Enough Misinformation, The Truth of Everest. It's not really all that groundbreaking. However, it just leaves a little bit of space that maybe there will be someone who goes up the mountain, but it would have to be a real climber. In other words, no expedition where someone's paying a large group to go up. In other words, the mountain, Everest isn't closed.
Right, right.
It's just you'll be doing all your own work. So in essence, most of the groups are are not there. The Sherpas are not working this season. They will be next season. There's full intentions of them to work next season. So you can check out the article that's linked here. It's Special Report, Enough Misinformation, The Truth of Everest. This is on a Rock and Ice new post. You can look at that. I did want to talk about, or actually not talk about, but bring up, I bought the book from Steve House, his new How to Train for Alpinism book, mm-hmm. and it is detailed. And so to sort of a condensed version of that is also up at Rock and Ice. It's called The Training Effect, Methods of Steve House. And he talks about the guiding principles of continuity, gradualness, modulation, and goes through and breaks those down along with specificity, preparing for success. And you can purchase the book at patagonia.com. It's Training for the New Alpinism. But if you want to get a taste for what it includes, it is now, this article is linked up at Rock and Ice that kind of gives you an idea. But man, it goes into some serious detail. And I've noticed on Instagram, many people are just taking photos of the cover of the book and gramming the cover of the book. And then they talk about it in their comments like, this thing is insane. Like detailed, very informative. And so if you're interested, check it out. A brand we love, we carry here in the shop, Prana.
Yeah, this one really surprised me. That
surprised me. $190 million they sold to Columbia. Not the country.
Powerhouse. Yeah, they're a big company.
Booming market has sprung up for stretchy pants designed to accommodate poses like Downward Dog. Apparently, it's a $190 million market to be exact. Today, climbing and yoga clothing brand Prana was sold to Columbia Sportswear. This was 2 days ago. Columbia, though, I mean, they own Mountain Hardwear and Sorel, so they're no joke. So although you'll see a lot of Columbia in some of the big box stores, not as popular in some specialty stores, they own now brands that are popular in specialty stores. So
it just shows you what they do when they do purchase. Prana is not going to change. Like, I mean, it'll,
right. Yeah, Mountain Hardwear
has, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Sorel, so... The altogether, Columbia is worth $2.86 billion.
Wow.
They plan to use their financial strength and operational expertise and global market platform to reach a much broader audience of socially conscious consumers worldwide. Currently, just 5% of Prana's sales are outside of the United States, so that will change rapidly, you would assume. The article also suggests that Prana will maintain their environmentally conscious and sustainable production methods. Tim Boyle, Columbia's CEO, stated that he sees Prana as a cultural fit for their corporation and that the Prana clothing line will help them reduce their dependence on cold weather products, which is true because you got the stretchy pants and the yoga thing going on there. So, and we have in our shop here Prana jeans, which I didn't even know they were coming in. I didn't know they made them, and I don't really pay attention much to that kind of stuff. But, man, they're good looking, and I... Gonna have to get me a pair. So yeah, I know they make kind of like the relaxed fit khakis, but the jeans are good looking.
Well, think back to their booth that they set up at the OR. I mean, they're
you have a fan.
Meaning coats, pants, just the variety of what sell.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's quite the line.
Yeah, huge line, and it's not just for the girls. They make some awesome stuff for dudes. So I call it Dude Prana, and the Dude Prana is looking good. So, speaking of yoga poses, and I guess this is more of the CrossFit in shape crowd. How long can you plank? Have you planked? Do you plank in yoga ever?
Yeah, I've planked.
Yeah.
I don't know if
you plank.
Plank was the fad for a little while. It's still,
but it's this kind of a, like a legit plank, right? Yeah. Like not like the
still
I'm having fun
for
showing off for my friends. Yeah. So
how long could
a
you
minute
do it for?
Is decent, you know, it's pretty good. Like especially if you're if you work a plank in between sets, say you're doing curls, you know, or pull ups or whatnot, and then you plank in between 30 seconds to a minute, that'll wear you just plumb out, right? So according to Outside Magazine, planking for a minute is hard enough. But in Boulder, Colorado, teenager Gabby Urey held the grueling position for any guesses. And you got this is the record here. 40 we have a guess
I'm
of 40
one
minutes.
Hour.
An hour and 20 minutes. She smashed the previous women's record of the 40 minutes was the previous record by Ava Bolzomi, I guess, or I don't know, something like that, while fighting a debilitating disease later known as Vader syndrome. According to her website, Yuri has had the condition since she was born. Vader syndrome is characterized by abnormalities in the vertebrae, trachea, kidneys, esophagus, limbs. The syndrome has affected her mostly in her spinal cord, but that didn't stop the teen from doing the dreaded exercise in record time. She took on the challenge to raise some money for the Colorado Children's Hospital, which has helped her fight Vader syndrome and with numerous surgeries. In total, she raised about $5,000, but her inspirational stories raised another $45,000 after the record was broken. So there's video of her doing it. I don't think it's, oh, it's an hour and 30 minutes. So you get to see the whole thing. You can watch a plank, which is.
It doesn't really get exciting until about an hour 20.
About an hour into it, yeah. Yeah, exactly. And people start cheering and things like that. So, man, sup season. You ready to learn how to stand a paddleboard this year?
This is going
to
be the summer. Yep, absolutely.
So Anderson and Ching, if you're, I mean, most, this is for you non-followers of the SUP world, but these guys won the Carolina Cup, which is the biggest race on the East Coast, or one of the biggest. It's one of the toughest as well, where experience matters, and that's why Danny Ching and Annabelle Anderson were able to fight through difficult conditions in stacked fields, and they won the Carolina Cup in their respective divisions, the opening race of the newly formed Champions Tour. So they're, what that means is they're becoming, it's becoming more of a sport. They've got a tour now. They're, you know, the athletes are becoming more full-time. This is a 13-mile course started in the open ocean on a beautiful coastline of Wrightsville Beach, North Carolina, before racers rounded a jetty into the intercoastal waterway separating Wrightsville Beach from Wilmington. Then they fought their way through surf and powerful current. And I have a rough time when the boats go by up on up here on the lake. So, and they're fighting like current and actual ocean waves. They're racing against side wind and chop to complete the circle and reach the finish line. So congrats to those guys. Strong paddlers each. I'm not sure what board length. There's like an open class board length and there's a 14 foot. I don't know what they were on. Sometimes in the ocean, they go to the open class where they're just huge boards, but who knows? A dead whale could explode. Is this really bad when whales explode? Like, this town is nervous about this.
This poor town. I mean, just the smell coming off of that whale is just...
I wonder how long that lasts.
That's a big whale. Like, this is,
it's like
this
reverse Cincy, right? Residents in Trout River, Newfoundland, are becoming increasingly concerned about a 81-foot blue whale carcass. That's a huge fish, whale fish. Washed up on shore last week, the animal is believed to have perished in heavy ice. So it might blow up, which would not be good because the population of 650, they might see a short-term rise in tourism, but then like no one was going to want to be there, I guess because of the funk. So as there's a chance of the carcass exploding due to the buildup of methane gas during the decomposition process, some sources report that the whale has already bloated to twice its normal size.
It's so awful to see. It really is. The pictures are horrible.
The threat of explosion has inspired increased viewings of certain YouTube clips and a number of bad puns. The actual chance of such a spectacle occurring is quite slim, at least according to folks such as Jack Lawson, a scientist from Canada's Fishery Department. So at some point, the skin of the animal will lose some of its integrity as all of the connective tissue starts to break down. Eventually, that gas will seep out, and it'll just sort of deflate, so it doesn't really explode. So, but yeah, I'm. How many cameras are in position to catch the explosion? And they do that thing on, which I guess happened last week in Alaska, where there's a stick in the ice somewhere. And they have bets on when the thing topples over because it's in the river, right? When the river melts and the stick topples over, and that's when, you know, whoever wins the money there, that's what they do for fun in Alaska. They bet on when the ice melts.
You are listening to the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show podcast on Gear 30 Radio. Adventure for your ears. Shop Gear 30 premier mountain equipment and improve your outdoor experience.
All right, I got a quiz for you. Are you a true Utahn?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, have you won? Visited Temple Square?
Yes.
Ever? Okay, so count up your points. Add your points. So you get 1 point here. Have you visited the Utah State Capitol Building?
Yes.
This is the place, Heritage Park?
Yes.
I don't know these. Newspaper Rock or other American Indian site in Utah?
No.
No. Have you attended the cultural celebrations such as Greek Festival or Swiss Days?
Oh, yes. I don't miss a Greek Fest. Absolutely.
Okay. So now, number two is Ski Utah. Have you tried skiing or snowboarding in Utah? Give yourself a point.
Yes.
Now, give yourself a point for each additional resort. How many resorts have you been to?
Each one is a point.
Yep. Yep. So skied to five different resorts. That's another 5 points.
I'm not going to get too many more points. Maybe three. Okay.
Have you hiked to Delicate Arch in Arches National Park?
No.
Okay. Give yourself a point if you've been to Zion, Bryce Canyon, Canyonlands, Capitol Reef National Park. Okay. Give yourself a point if you have swam in the Great Salt Lake.
Yes.
Give yourself a point if you've been to Saltaire.
Yep.
Have you seen the Spiral Jetty?
No.
No? Okay. Give yourself a point if you skied Lake Powell.
No.
Okay. Have you skied or enjoyed Bear Lake? Have you been in the water at Bear Lake? Give yourself a point. Have you been in the water at Utah Lake?
Okay.
Or have you been in the water at Flaming Gorge?
Yep.
Give yourself a point for Dinosaur National Monument.
No.
What about the Natural History Museum of Utah?
Yep.
Museum of Ancient Life at Thanksgiving Point?
No.
Give yourself a point for if you've ever been to Ogden Eccles Dinosaur Park.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Now, give yourself a point if you've ever been to the Bonneville Salt Flats.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. I think you had to drive it. Go in the summer state. Getting stuck in the... If you want to see the pros do it, a 10-speed week. Give yourself... let's see... Well, if you've been there, you've been to the Salt Flats, give yourself a point. Okay. Now, this one's almost achieved. This is like everybody gets this point because it's hard to not get. Have you ever spent a weekend in Wendover or Mesquite?
Oh, yeah.
Give yourself a point. Okay. Have you ever attended the Utah Shakespeare Festival?
No.
Okay. Have you ever been to the Capitol Theater?
Yep.
Give yourself a point. Give yourself a point if you've been to a Bravenel Hall.
Yep.
Give yourself a point if you've been to the Utah Opera.
Yep.
Give yourself a point if you've been to Tuacon.
Nope.
No. Give yourself a point if you watched the Utah BYU rivalry football game.
Nope.
No. Okay, you get a bonus point if you've been to a Jazz basketball game.
Yep.
If you've been to a Real Salt Lake game.
Nope.
Been to a Salt Lake Bees game.
Yep.
Grizzlies game.
Yep.
Do you have a Ragnar sticker in your vehicle?
Nope.
Okay, have you tried fry sauce?
Oh, yeah.
Give yourself a point. Have you had a pastrami burger from Warren's?
No.
Have you been to Chuck-O-Rama?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Cache Valley cheese curds?
Oh, yeah.
And finally, green jello.
Oh, of course.
You guys, I'm sure, are well above 20. I scored, I think, 30, 28 or 30, somewhere around there.
28.
Are you at 28?
Yeah, we're
even. So if you're 20 or more, you're a true Utahn. You can celebrate a crown burger tonight. If you're between 8 and 19, not bad. You're in Utah, but not of Utah. 7 or less, you're not from around here.
You visited for a weekend or something. Yeah. That's kind of a nice little
quiz. That was
quiz.
Fun,
like
right?
That, yeah.
So do you remember we talked about the turkey deaths into the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was bad. So PETA found out about it.
Uh-huh.
They want to erect a sign to honor the turkeys killed in the crash.
The semi that went
the semi
river?
That went over into Deer Creek Reservoir and all the turkeys died. And now PETA wants to put a sign up there that it says, drive safely, buckle up, in memory of the hundreds of terrified turkeys who have died here in a truck crash.
Aww.
I say do it.
And I like the pre part where it's truckers
slow down
when you're going around.
There's a turn here. Yeah.
Uh-huh. I know now, Weber Canyon, how bad that one is.
Yeah.
I lived up there, yeah.
Did you see the bear climbing?
Oh, my gosh.
Is that adorable?
Nail biting.
You're
not
right.
Really,
yeah. The video's gone viral. I mean, most people have probably seen it by now. There are these endangered black bears, a mama and a cub. They really, it's like they're it's Sharma Jr. on wall there. It's crazy. So we'll post it if, you know, it should be right above what you're listening to here. But check it out. I have it. I found it on grindtv.com.
Yep, stop watching your cat video just for a second. Switch
from
over
cats to
this
bears
bear
momentarily.
Yeah, exactly.
We do have a new world record beer mile. Man runs a sub-5 beer mile. Canadian.
What's a beer mile?
James Nielsen drinks 4 beers.
Okay.
Runs 4 laps. Is a lap a mile? No, it couldn't be. In 4 minutes and 57 seconds. So we're 1 week away from the 60-year anniversary of Roger Bannister's running the first sub-4-minute mile. What he accomplished on that blustery day in 1954 on Oxford University's track is perhaps still the most significant moment in athletics, a testament to humankind's eternal striving to breaking barriers once thought impenetrable. Now humanity can celebrate another such milestone. The 5-minute beer mile has been achieved. Yes, last Sunday, 34 years old, so you're never too old, folks. Canadian named James Nielsen successfully downed 4 cans of beer and ran 4 laps around a track. So it's a track lap, alternating drinking with running in 4 minutes and 57 seconds, smashing the previous beer mile record of 5:09. Anything's possible. I just want you to know that here. Anything is possible. Do you know that the U.S. Olympian and athletes' rights advocate Nick Simmons himself is a 5:15 beer miler? Bet you didn't know that.
I wonder what my beer mile is. I don't even know.
I don't know. We'll have to do it and figure out what that is. So.
Just for science.
So tonight, kicking off right now, actually, so by the time you hear this, it will already happened. Make sure you don't miss another Gear 30 Basics class. They're typically on Thursday nights. Hit our Facebook page or our website, gear30.com. We have Ultra Nutrition. So Kelly Agnew is going to talk about how to fuel for distance, which is awesome. These are free.
Cheetos or Pringles? He's going to get to the bottom.
PBR.
And PBR, exactly.
Hammer Nutrition, PBR. next week we have, it's 3 days, a kayaking course. $150 pays for instruction, 3 days of instruction, all the gear you need. All you need is a swimsuit. I can't remember what the next week is. So, but then we do have the Adventure Gear Expo, May 9th and 10th, Gear 30. We'll be down there.
You going down there?
Yeah, we'll have a booth.
Nice.
Yeah, it'll be a big deal.
Yeah.
So May 17th, the Ogden Marathon. Yours truly will be at the start of it, trying to tell people, don't worry, be happy. It's only 26.2 miles. You'll be fine. Ignore your cramps at 18. There's semi-hill there. Walk it, and you'll be fine. So, yeah, we'll be ramping up the crowd there at the Ogden Marathon start line, as well as helping announce as they finish. And if you want to see, if you want a tear in your eye and experience a momentous occasion, hang out at the finish line of a marathon. Every single time someone grabs their kid's hand and runs across, it's I choke up. I can't handle it. It kills me. So it's a good time. This week's quote of the week. Unless you, I didn't ask. Did you have any?
News? I do have one little study. Yeah. I have to pass this on because these are the things that I love, and I think I may have covered this like 3-4 years ago. But it's a brand new study. World's deadliest animals. Did you catch this?
World's deadliest.
Okay, so.
Is any of them like, they count like protozoa or these weird bacterias and stuff, or these are animals?
Animals.
Okay.
So it does go down to a size, but not like microbial or anything like that. Okay. So should I start with the world's deadliest or the least deadly?
Let's go least.
Okay. Least deadly. So, and this is the number of people killed by animals per year. Okay. And so this is the animal and how many people they kill each year.
Okay.
So when you think how people are just terrified of sharks. Sharks are actually the very bottom of the list.
Yeah,
10. So 10 humans died each year. The same number are killed by wolves. I had no idea.
I didn't know it was that high for wolves.
Yeah, me neither. But it just means you got as much of a chance being killed by a wolf as a...
As a shark.
As a shark, yeah. 100 lions kill 100 humans each year.
100?
100. And I'm sure this is looked over the course of many years, you know, and they average it from that. So they kill 100. Elephants kill 100 humans. Yeah. I love the direction things are going here. Hippopotamus.
Yeah.
500.
500. Hippos are way
hippos
more dangerous.
Hippos are very dangerous.
Yeah.
And I guess
you don't want to mess with a hippo.
Yeah, you do not. Crocodiles kill 1,000 humans a year.
Okay.
And these are hippos.
Hippos I get because they're in water and out of water. But so are the gators and the crocs.
I'm thinking this isn't.
Don't you know, like, dude, there's gators over there.
I bet a lot of these numbers aren't like, you know, Florida swamplands either. This is probably, you know.
Like India.
Exactly.
Africa.
Or Amazon or wherever that is. Yeah. So we've made it down to crocodile. The tapeworm kills 2,000 people.
Ew.
Okay, so we're getting as small as a tapeworm. Yeah. 2,500 is the Ascaris roundworm. So just another.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, worm. It's just gross, yeah. 10,000. And this one I have to investigate somehow. The freshwater snail must carry some sort of virus of some
kind.
That's
not good. I don't
know. Kills 10,000 a year. The assassin bug kills 10,000.
No, I've never heard of the freshwater snail killing people or the assassin bug.
South American, African sort of epidemic type of thing. The tsetse fly kills 10,000. They carry what's called a sleeping sickness. Okay, so we're getting to the top ones here. Dogs, through rabies especially, kill 25,000.
Oh, you're kidding me.
25,000, that's a big number. Snakes, 50,000. We made it to the top two. Think you guess them?
No, because snakes...
The one you can probably guess. Think bigger, like or outside of the norm. 475,000 humans.
Die.
That's humans.
Kill. Because of this animal.
You know, humans killing humans. So that's 475. And so as far as the world's deadliest animals, humans are
is
that
a human?
List.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
So that's 475. Okay. In the top of the list,
yeah,
killing 725,000 people a year, the mosquito.
Mosquito, yeah.
The mosquito. Yep, I thought that was interesting. Obviously something, if you really think about it, you're like, oh, okay, that, I get it.
Malaria.
Malaria, yeah. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, that's bad. So have you caught the... We talk about this every week. Have you caught The Naked and Afraid yet? That's a great show. You got to watch that.
I will. I should now. I'm spending more time at home, yeah.
So this week's quote of the week. Training is not the work that you do. It is the value and the cost of your body's response to that work. Legendary coach Renato Canova, who contributes to the Steve House Alpinism, Training for Alpinism. So... Thank you for listening to the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show. It's a pleasure having some live music on this week. Thanks again, Todders, for stopping by. We're on Gear 30 Radio, Adventure for Your Ears. Find the OOA Show podcast on iTunes and gear30.com. As John Muir would say, the mountains are calling, and we must go.
I woke up this morning with nothing better to do. Smoke cigarettes, laid around watching cartoons. I feel like that coyote someday. Run and get away. Kicks the victory smile right from your face.